You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Well, Bob, we do it every Monday, and every Monday, Ray Fittipaldo's report card is first among most read Post-Gazette stories at postgazette.com. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Here's Ray's report card. Quarterback Russell Wilson can still throw the deep ball. He goes into detail on many of the plays. Not bad for his first start in the past 11 months. He gives Russell Wilson an A. What say you, Bob?
So considering lack of playing, I'd give him an A-. I still think there were some throws out there that could have been the result. Opposite of what happened, the juggling throws, the underthrows. But, I expected that, like I said, A-.
Yeah, sometimes it seems like Ray is grading on a curve, and other times he's grading straight, Bob. And, even with the layoff, Russell Wilson was really good. Everything has changed, perhaps. But I can't just take away the first quarter. I can't just take it away. He got an F in the first semester, but he got straight A's and aced the final exam. So an A- for me. Limits?
I'd say an A- too, Joe, because, that first half even got national people to say, should Justin Fields even go back in, which is probably a little bit too much of an overreaction. But Wilson in the second half ran the offense better than anyone has since Ben Roethlisberger retired.
I agree with that. I used the word gravitas earlier, Bob, and that there was a different feeling exuding from that position than any I felt since Ben left town. And that is, you had the experience, the winning past, the leadership, the ability to use cadence, the ability to read a blitz, the brilliant play action fakes. He is a master at all of that. It's a leader at that position because of how long he's been around and how much he's won, and you could feel it. A-. Running backs. Najee Harris, Ray Fittipaldo writes, is starting to get a big play reputation. He gives them a B+, Bob. What is happening here? What did him and Warren do wrong? They look great together. They get an A+ for me.
A for me.
Limits? Why is Ray giving them a B+?
I give them an A-. I think there were a couple more opportunities that they probably had, but overall, very solid day.
What do you mean? They missed
holes? The first half, I think they missed some holes, but that's also more so on the offensive line. We'll get to their grade coming up.
I don't know about that, Bob. I disagree with City Limits and Ray here. I think this was a very harsh grade, and I think Ray should be ashamed of himself for giving that grade. Receivers. He gives Pickens and company a B+. Why? I'm giving them an A.
I'm giving him a B+.
No, A-. Austin did drop a ball.
Right, that's the one I'm considering would affect it. But it's still a very good performance. B+, there's nothing wrong with that grade.
Limits?
I'm giving him an A- as well. Calvin Austin has to catch the football, but we saw Van Jefferson reach the end zone. How about that?
That was incrinculant. Yeah, Calvin Austin needs to catch that ball. That was the play where Russ audible to Coors Light. Did you hear that little call, Limits?
And is it just me, or is that one of the first audibles that the Steelers have run at the line of scrimmage that wasn't like a canned call?
Well, that's the other thing, is that you could tell Russ was, orchestrating an actual offense.
Yeah,
on
the
his
freedom.
Own based on what he sees. Offensive line. Ray gives them a B-, says they got better in the second half. Well, so did Russell Wilson. But you didn't grade him on a curve, but you're grading these guys straight. You did grade Russ on a curve. These guys get a straight grade, Ron. Ron.
First of all, he screwed up the last name earlier.
Ron's
now we got Ron.
Laugh again. Yeah, and the laugh I need to hear. Bob, I think a B minus is rough here. I think an A minus, I'm giving them an A minus. You want to, you talk about,
well,
you know,
I have to consider.
You're considering other factors. Right. It's half of their backup line.
Right. And that's why I give them an A, because I looked at this game as it progressed, and given the lack of experience generally with the, you know, the two center right guard, and throw in Broderick Jones, who's in his second year at a different position. I still had his moments, but I'm going to give him a good grade of, I'll say B.
That seems only because, a little harsh.
No, it's not harsh.
They ran the ball effectively. What did they
like
do
it
wrong?
It would have been a D, because I didn't think there was much offense there for the first quarter and a half. And so I have to take that into account, just as you did, Russell Wilson, with some of the throws early in the game.
Defensive line. Ray says Ogunjobi had the sack, but also blamed him for the 15-yard penalty. I thought that was a crap call myself.
No, it was a good call. You can't do that.
Totally disagree. Totally disagree.
First of all, you should not be in a position to even give them a chance to throw a flag.
Why? Because you throw a guy to the ground. The Jets did it half the night, too.
But he did it
and
through
secondly, Ogunjobi,
up in his face mask.
No, he grabbed him by the side of the helmet, which is legal, and his arm around his body, and threw a guy to the ground.
Those officials don't know what
to finish
so fast,
a play.
They saw his hands in his face
mask. They didn't call face masking. They called unnecessary roughness. And secondly, and more importantly, it was so loud you couldn't hear the whistles. And thirdly, and most importantly, the Jets had three plays like that where they threw guys to the ground. It was a crap call. And you know what? It changed the whole game, by the way.
Right. It led to points for them. But it's still, you can't do it.
Do what? Finish
what
a play?
Did? That wasn't finishing a play. That was unnecessary roughness.
I disagree. Okay. Limits, where do you stand on that call?
No, I'm with you, Joe. I feel like there was just ref ball over-officiated play, really, in that moment. And there were other instances where, again, it was not called. That just didn't seem like it was excessive to me. I mean, Bob was talking about all the 70 Steelers talking about, well, this would be a flag this day, this would be a flag these days.
How about when they lifted up Najee and pile-drived him into the
turf? But Najee is also a victim of what Ben Roethlisberger was a victim of. That is, because he carries people with him all the time, guys are jumping on him, trying to get him to the ground, and they didn't even do that
then. Did the same thing to Calvin Austin on a play. It was just,
Roethlisberger was victimized because he's so big. He never got calls in the pocket, which other quarterbacks would have gotten.
So you're saying
Najee Harris is getting the same treatment.
He should have gotten the call. Or not. Nobody should have gotten the call. I hated that call. I did.
Okay.
But we can agree to disagree.
We do.
I give the defensive line an A-. I thought they were very good. The Jets did almost no running.
Breece Hall is a special athlete who can take advantage of all the attention given to other guys, and he did on a couple of occasions. But I think overall they got a B+.
Linebackers, he gives a B to. Roberts and Queen failed to tackle Breece Hall near the line of scrimmage. I do agree with that. I didn't blame that on the defensive line. He turned that into a 57-yard play. Jets double-teamed Watt, held him without a sack, but Highsmith was good, Ray says. I agree with all that. And I give them a B+, Bob.
B+ is what I was thinking, too.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
They should get an A. I mean, I think the linebackers, other than that one play, had a pretty decent day. Like, Alex Highsmith was a factor
in the
run game.
Not even an A-minus?
No, I give him an A. I think they were pretty good. T.J. Watt, I mean, again, could have more of an impact. They're double-teaming him and chipping him on every single play. I think the linebackers had a pretty good day, though.
Secondary. Ray says Beanie Bishop, the interceptions, including his 31-yard return, and he wears number 31, the same number as Donnie Shell.
Who was in the house.
Who was also an undrafted rookie. And he was in the house as part of the 74 team. Joey Porter Jr., I'm saying, Ray intimates it, I'll say it, he was great. James Pierre came in for an injured Dante Jackson, did a nice job. He gives him an A, I agree, Bob.
A, yes.
A, solid day.
Special teams, let's give a shout-out right here. We
that's
talked
an
about
A plus,
it earlier.
And that's it's an A-plus. There's no argument on that grade.
Man, they've been good. They do a all-around evaluation. I forget which website it is of special teams. The Steelers went into this game with the best special teams in the league. Their kick coverage is unbelievably just violent. They kill people.
Let's give an applause to Corliss Waitman.
Yeah, Corliss Waitman.
Who's come in. You know, Cam Johnston was supposed to be the guy. He gets injured. We're thinking, okay, now what are they going to do?
He's jumped on the moving train very well.
Let's give an applause to Danny Smith and his kick-blocking prowess.
And his nine pieces of gum.
Clint Hurdle tweeted out.
Nobody appreciates a wad of gum like Clint Hurdle.
He said, I've taught Danny Smith everything he knows about gum chewing. And what a moment it was when they actually got credited with a block and everybody jumped around Danny Smith. That was fun. The call on Minka was an absolute joke that could have cost them a football game. Over officious jerks. Chris Boswell on the money again. He's unbelievable. He was 4 for 4. This is an A+. Why didn't Ray give them an A+? What do you have to do to get an A+ around here, Limits?
You won't find a better special teams day.
It was really an A+. No, I mean, Ray must
be very angry at Ray today.
Ray must treat just the students to go to Harvard with A's.
Right.
No one else is allowed to get one with it for A+.
Yeah, what do you have to do to get an A+? I don't understand. And then the coaching, he talks about the decision to start Russell. He talks about the defense holding the Jets to 15. It's an A. It's an A+. I have one guy on Twitter saying, oh, Tomlin started the guy he said he was going to start anyway. Let's not go overboard. Okay, but everybody in the world, certainly nationally and a lot locally, were saying you're an idiot to sit Justin Fields right now. Tomlin was right. Give the guy credit for a day, will you?
Yeah, he
deserves
it.
It's an A+.
It absolutely is.
Limits?
I agree. He gets an A. Very solid A.
I said A+.
Very solid A.
Why not an
A+? 97% A.
Why not an A+?
Where does an A+ fall?
What actually went wrong in the game where you would take points off his 100, his perfect 100?
Well, I still don't think that their first half was flawless.
That's his fault? I'm sorry, Bob. I'm overreacting. I've had too much coffee.
He's crashing,
Did you finish that thing with all the whipped cream on and everything else?
No, I had to throw the rest of it away. I'm such a caffeine addict that I've had thoughts of digging it out of the garbage and drinking the rest of it. Like taking a cigarette butt out of the toilet and trying to light it or something. Why not an A+, Limits? I'm very perplexed by that.
Well, I feel like if that interception from Beanie Bishop didn't occur at the end of the half, we're talking about a Steelers team that is, oh boy, not
rolling well. Tomlin explained afterwards that that was a schematic change that led to that. Why don't you give him credit for that interception?
I'm giving him credit by giving him an A. He has an A. A's are good. A pluses are very, very, very good.
I thought it was very, very, very good, Bob. What do you give Tomlin and the coaches?
I give him, I just said, A+. I think they did a very good job. The game just continued to evolve in their favor in the second half. You outscore someone 24-0. I don't care who that someone is. You're doing some work. And that was as good a second half as he's had in how long since he's been here.
We'll see how the Artie Smith experiment plays out the rest of the year. But going from Matt Canada to him, Bob, is like going from Duck Hodges to Dan Marino, you know? And I'm not saying he's the Dan Marino of coordinators, but just the radical difference between having an amateur at the controls and having a pro. That's a better comparison. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that. That's absolutely true.
And watching this unfold almost makes you angrier about the last few years, doesn't it? That everybody in that organization tripled down to bring back Matt Canada for a third year? What are you doing?
I don't know that everyone in that organization,
the important
Mike Tomlin
people,
certainly did.
Art certainly did.
But here's the thing. As much as the quarterback merry-go-round has been a tough one. And when you lose somebody like a Ben Roethlisberger, who you don't have to worry about every year, you know who your QB is. You just worry about backups, and you could rotate in and out of those things. You know, they brought in Trubisky thinking that he could be. That wasn't the case. They drafted Kenny Pickett. That turned out to be the wrong move. And Mason Rudolph all along was sitting there, and yet he turned out to be the most productive guy when he was in there in meaningful games last year. And then they moved on from all of them. So there was certainly doubt about whether or not they can figure out the quarterback situation, and bringing in two guys that nobody else seemed to be interested in was viewed as, wow, that's a little risky. What are you going to do? How are you going to rehabilitate whatever there was? I was more optimistic about Russell Wilson just because, as I said many times, that year he had in Denver didn't deserve to be benched and then discarded the way they did. Those numbers were better than any Steeler quarterback numbers over the last couple of years. Why would you not be happy with that if you're Sean Payton?
Do you remember Cornelius Bennett, Bob?
Yes, from Buffalo.
Yeah. I just wanted to say the word Cornelius before the segment ended. Who's the greatest Cornelius in sports history?
Well, in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's the biggest Cornelius I know.
UConn Cornelius!
Was that a sports movie?
No, but
In some ways it could be. We were reminiscing about...
He was working overtime, getting those gifts down. And...
Right. The flying instructor. Remember, he had a coach's whistle and a hat? It's a sports movie. I think.
You think Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is a sport?
Well, no, I do, Bob. He had to try out for the spot.
He sent me on the fly here, and that's the only Cornelius I could think of.
Do you remember the long jump?
Of course I remember. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
It's like, that's even worse than calling Die Hard a Christmas movie.
I think Rudolph is a sports movie. Is there any other Corneliuses anywhere in sports history? Cornelius Green, I think, was the Ohio State quarterback at one point.
Cornelius. I don't remember him, and I don't remember anyone else named Cornelius in sports that made an impact on me.
Yes. Isn't there? Who else? Anybody else? Limits? Look up famous Cornelius.
You're looking up Cornelius's.
I'm putting out a poll on Twitter. Is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer a sports movie?
No. Don't do that. Why are you doing that?
It is a sports movie.
He said it's a sports movie.
I know, but he wanted to know about the name Cornelius. The only Cornelius that came to mind that fast was Cornelius from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I think it might be Cornelius Bennett. I think he's the most famous Cornelius in sports history. I think.
You just wanted to say Cornelius, and you've led us down this rabbit hole of insanity here.
Let me see here. Kathy Cornelius, an American golfer. You remember her?
No.
Okay. Norman Cornelius was an English cricketer.
No, I bet you if you ask City Limits, anyone with the name Cornelius, that red-nosed reindeer will come into your mind probably first.
Cornelius Henry, that's the cricketer again. I mean, it's in some ways, I won't say an unfortunate name, but a memorable one, Bob. You're probably going to be known as Corny for a lot of your life.
It's like Patrick Hornquist is horny.
Cornelius Pott was a Dutch football coach, Bob. You know what they said about his team? It's smoking. Let's go. I hate myself. Limits, take this away.
Oh.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.